This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. It's Monday, April 18th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on this Easter Monday. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. It is a great joy to be with you this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Happy Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I hope you had a blessed Easter Triduum and an Easter Sunday with your family and all your friends. I know for this reporter, it was a very special day. I got to spend some time with my 93-year-old mom who came out of the nursing home and spent the afternoon with us. So what a joy it was. On this Monday of the octave of Easter, we are celebrating the Feast of Feasts of the Catholic Church, the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. The solemnity of Easter is so great that it's celebrated for 8 days during this octave, and the Easter season is celebrated for 50 days until the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Today is also day four, the Divine Mercy Novena, in anticipation of Divine Mercy Sunday, established by St. John Paul II. Join Relevant Radio's Father Rocky and Drew Mariani for a special program at 3 p.m. On this Sunday, which is Divine Mercy Sunday. It's going to be spectacular. And also, you can pray every day the novena with Drew at 3 p.m. I want to bring in my colleague, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is now in day 54. Welcome aboard. What's the latest?
Things continue. This time, some heavy shelling in the western part of Ukraine in the town of Lviv, which had been kind of the safe haven for citizens as well as Western reporters. You've seen a lot of reports from Lviv. That's a major train station on the way out of the country for refugees and a point not far from where supplies are coming into Ukraine. 7 people dead, 11 injured after Russia launched 4 missile strikes. The toll could rise further. A child among those who are dead. 3 missiles hit warehouses. A 4th hit a tire repair shop. And so that's not good news for that part of Ukraine as well. And the Holy Father, of course, speaking out against war, as he has so often during the last 50-plus days. He says, the joy of Christ's resurrection needed now more than ever. In this time when war in Ukraine and other parts of the world makes the hope for peace seem like an illusion. That from his greeting to the city and the world yesterday, John.
Well, Glenn, the Holy Father was hoping and praying for a ceasefire for Easter, but it did not happen, obviously. But maybe perhaps we can continue to pray because for the Eastern Orthodox, their Easter is not till next Sunday, so there might still be hope for that. It's also just heartbreaking to hear the reports of Mariupol, the city of Mary, and according to the authorities, the city basically doesn't exist anymore. It's absolutely just destroyed, and yet they continue to fight to the end, in the words of the Ukrainian people.
Yeah, it's the Ukraine's town, but you know, Russia has pretty much demolished it. So, you know, fighting over rubble, the Ukrainians have been holding out for the longest time in this steel factory, and that had been just pounded by the Russians. And that's the part of the country, the east and southeast, that Russia has mostly concentrated in as far as ground troops. More of that action expected, but missiles being flung all across the country, especially since the sinking of that Russian missile cruiser a few days back.
Well, Glenn, on this Easter Monday here in this country, in Boston, it's the 129th running of the Boston Marathon, 9 years after that awful bombing.
Yeah, hundreds hurt there, and I can remember that day very well, working at Relevant Radio at the time. We're getting reports out of there, and things have been safe ever since, but all Boston police basically on alert for the day. No particular threats, but they don't want anything nearing a repeat of the last time.
All right, Glenn. Well, if anything breaks that we need to know about in terms of Ukraine, please let us know, as always. Thanks so much.
Sure thing, John. Yep.
We start each hour in prayer, and we especially continue to pray, as we've been doing for so long, for peace in Ukraine, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God and uniting ourselves to the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit on this Easter Monday when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 11:25. Jesus the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Alleluia, Jesus the Lord is truly risen, just as he promised. His tomb is empty. Death has no more power over him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection and the life? And if you believe in him, you'll live forever? That is the question the Lord asked Martha, and she responded, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Do you believe the words of the risen Jesus in the Gospels? Jesus is calling you. He is the resurrection and the life. With the Holy Spirit, we can say, Jesus is Lord, and he is risen indeed. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. And remember that on this Easter Monday, we're celebrating the greatest event in the history of mankind, the solemnity of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of the blessing of the Paschal candle at the Easter Vigil. Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and end, the Alpha and the Omega, all time belongs to him and all ages. To him be glory and power through every age. Amen. Why does the Catholic Church celebrate Easter for 8 days? And why is the Easter season celebrated for 50 days? Joining us live now for much more on the meaning of Easter and the Easter octave is Father John Gordon, acting vicar for pastoral life and coordinator of the Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, and of course, a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. Good morning, Father Gordon. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It is a great joy to be with you.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is truly risen. Alleluia. I couldn't agree more, John. What a great way to continue this Easter octave, this overflowing joy of the resurrection. You know, there's two liturgical feasts that have an octave that follow that. One is Christmas, of course, and the other is Easter. And it's almost as if the church is saying there's too much joy, too much truth, too much goodness and beauty to capture in one day. It has to spill over, not into only a season, but just to a whole week, a whole 8 days octave from Sunday to Sunday, from Christmas Day to New Year's Day. And the Sunday and the octave of Easter ranks even higher than the octave of Christmas, as it ranks as a solemnity. And there's a couple of little cues about that in our liturgy, but there basically is just an overflowing delight in the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And as you were inviting us to the beginning, I do believe this. It's like, you know, it's the kind of thing that one of my favorite prayers in the Bible is when the father of the boy who's possessed says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that this hammering away at the truth of the resurrection kind of wears me down in the sense of, yes, I don't want to just believe it in the sense of I accept it to be true in my mind, but I want to believe it in the sense of I'm out of that tomb as well. I'm leaving behind all the garbage in the tomb as well. It's just glorious.
Absolutely. And joy, I think, is the key word. In fact, all week long, we're going to hear the beautiful words of sacred scripture. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. There's so much joy. First of all, what was your celebration of the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday? What was it like for you, Father?
So I live in a parish, the name of the parish, wonderfully known, is Holy Spirit Parish, and it's in Union, New Jersey, and we had glorious celebrations. The church was well attended, the people were actively participating. Although we had nobody receiving any Easter sacraments, we still blessed the water, and we renewed our baptism promises, which we had been preparing for all during the Lenten season. There was a joy and an excitement about being together. And it was just, and of course, the weather did cooperate. The weather was beautiful, except after the vigil on Easter, Holy Saturday night. It was raining when people were leaving, but that wasn't a problem for us. But there was just a glorious, wonderful celebration. And for me personally, I find that gathered around the altar of the Lord with the people of God, to be a wonderful way of, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what we are supposed to do. And of all the things that we do any day, but all year, this is the most profound and important. Those holy days of the Triduum, that wonderful celebration of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, the Easter Sunday celebrations. John, they were glorious for me, and I pray that they were so for the people of God. But if for any of our listeners it wasn't glorious because of whatever was going on in your life or in the church or in your family, this week is Easter. This week is Easter, and especially I want to say a word to those people who, for a Lenten discipline, were making the habit of going to daily Mass. And now that Lent is over, you might feel like, okay, I did that for Lent. That was my Lenten practice. I encourage you, at least do it still for this week. These are the most beautiful liturgies of the year, these weekday liturgies. Every gospel is an Easter gospel. As you said, John, that we use that line from Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We only use that in the church on Sundays, but we use it every day this week. Because this is Easter Sunday all week.
Absolutely. And, you know, you reminded me of just how beautiful the Easter Vigil services are. I had the joy of attending at St. Mary the Angels here in Chicago, the very place where my wife and I got married, and Father Rocky, who celebrated our marriage, also was celebrating in that Easter Vigil Mass this past Easter Vigil. So it was a lot of joy. There's so much symbolism in the Easter Vigil Mass. Can you talk a little bit about the Paschal candle, which represents the light of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that symbolism that goes with it?
Yeah, the Easter candle is a glorious sign that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is not dead, but he's alive. The Exultet, the great Easter hymn that is proclaimed at the very beginning after the lighting of the candle and the procession into the church and all the people's little candles being lit, that Exultet has some wonderful images and lines about the candle, a light divided but undimmed, and like the beads, like the wax, although it melts down, it as it burns, it gives light. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful image of the truth. That light is stronger than darkness. Light pierces the darkness. And even if it's just a little bit of a way, it has the power to grow and to grow and to grow. And what I love about it is all throughout this Easter season, the Easter candle will be lit at every liturgical celebration, daily Mass, weekday Mass, any event is all lit all throughout the Easter season. But then what I love about the Easter candle is after the Easter season, it's only lit on two occasions. Baptisms and funerals, because both are signs for us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, baptism where we're incorporated into his death and resurrection, and the funeral mass where we commend the faithful departed to the Lord God, that the promise that was given to them at baptism might be realized, And so it kind of brings us back to that Easter vigil, that Easter celebration, all of us holding lit candles at the Easter vigil as the exalted is proclaimed, as we renewed our baptism promises. And I would say to the people of God, to you who are listening, that to use a candle at certain times in your family's liturgy. And by family's liturgy, I mean dinner together as well as times of explicit prayer. But there are times when the family is the family together. And to have not just candles for decoration, but maybe to even have some particular type of candle or a candle holder that you use to say, this is a sign, this is a symbol of the life that we have and the light that draws us together. You know, we're huddled around the light, we're huddled around the flame. And also, it is a hint of the flame of the Holy Spirit. Now, the flame of the Holy Spirit is much more powerful than a candle, but it is a reminder that we want that fire to burn away the dross and to enkindle in us the fire of his love. I love the line of the disciples on the road to Emmaus when they realized what had happened. They said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" So this candle, this flame, this light, it all comes together in this joyful celebration. The Easter candle is a wonderful sign and image of that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, at least I did it, maybe I hope I didn't do it wrong, at the Easter Vigil and Mass Easter Sunday, when we incense the candle, like when we go around the altar, I incense it as if I were incensing the Blessed Sacrament, because it has such a profound place of honor at this celebration.
Absolutely. We're joined this morning by Father John Gordon, the Acting Vicar for Pastoral Life and Coordinator of the Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark. Father, we talked a little bit about how this celebration of Easter this week during the octave is so big, it can't be contained in one day. Every single day is treated the same as the original solemnity of Easter. But can you explain to us why the season lasts 50 days all the way to Pentecost Sunday?
Yes, well, I think it's because we're following Jesus during his time after the resurrection. The Gospels tell us that for many days, in the matter of fact, it says in the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, for 40 days he walked with them and revealed himself to them and taught them. And so that brings us to the 40th day after Easter, which is Ascension Thursday. And so during that Easter season, what we're going to do at the Mass, especially the weekday Mass, it's very interesting. We start with today, Peter preaching on Pentecost Day and the effect of that preaching. And all throughout the Easter season, we'll read as our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, culminating in the Feast of Pentecost, which is after 9 days of prayer, the first novena after the Ascension, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But what's fascinating is that although the Acts of the Apostles begins with Pentecost, so I look at the Easter season as an Easter / Pentecost season, because Easter only makes sense for us in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because even when Jesus was with the disciples after the resurrection, they still didn't quite get it. You know, like they said to him after, as he was about to said, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Like they really didn't get it until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So these 50 days of celebration of walking with the resurrected Jesus. And the other piece of it is Easter was always a privileged time of catechumens coming into the church. And so the season of Easter was a time of intense follow-up catechesis. I think it's sometimes called mystagogy. And the idea behind that is that the mysteries into which they were initiated now become fully explained to them. And so it's a time of ongoing growth and formation as well for us. And so we walk with Jesus. He walks with us in these glorious days of Easter. And the great thing is that even as we liturgically will celebrate the Ascension and Pentecost, you know what? It's always Easter, because Christ is always risen from the dead in our day.
It's a beautiful thought. I love your Easter's - Pentecost season. It reminds me of the fact that the readings here during this season from the Acts of the Apostles, which is known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, really help us to be able to proclaim with the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Lord. And this is something that we can do here for this entire season. In fact, St. Athanasius, the great church doctor, said that the 50 days from the Sunday of the Resurrection to Pentecost Sunday, I celebrated in joy and exaltation as one feast day, indeed as one great Sunday. What a wonderful thought from that great church father.
Amen. Amen. It's like, it's just too much. As I said at the very beginning, it's too much to handle in one day. And it's glorious. It's like, you know, have you ever sat down to an Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas meal and you're like, I want to eat everything in front of me, but I just can't. There's just too much, but I want it all. Yeah, you got all week to do that. You don't have to do it in one sitting.
Father Gordon, in the final moments here, just your thoughts on the meaning of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for us Catholics and for all Christians.
You know, the Romans chapter 6 says to us that when we were buried with Christ, when we were baptized with Christ, we were baptized into his death. I remember the first time I read that, I thought my Bible had a misprint. I thought, I don't want to be baptized into his death. I want to be baptized into his glory. But of course, because he died, my death no longer holds me down. Because he died, as that same reading goes, death has no longer has power over him. Because he is risen from the dead, I am free from the fear of death. I am free from whatever anxiety that I have. And the point I was trying to make at the Easter Sunday homily was, leave all the garbage in the tomb. Leave the fear and the anxiety and the pride and the sin and the anger, and leave it in the tomb and come out glorious. Be with Christ risen from the dead. You know, when I can only see the problems, when I can only see the difficulties, my eyes are firmly fixed on myself. But if I imagine Jesus coming out of that tomb, now I know the Bible says that the stone was rolled away, but I picture the stone, John, being blown to smithereens, and Jesus coming out virile and strong and alive, and I say, you went into that cave dead, and you're coming out alive, you can fix any problem I've created. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that I am no longer bound by my problems and difficulties and fears and challenges. I am now united to him by baptism, which we renewed at Easter, and the glory of a resurrection that's not just his, but his for me.
Well, Father Gordon, that's a beautiful and very powerful thought. Leave the garbage, all the garbage in that tomb, and unite ourselves to the resurrected Christ. Christ is risen indeed, Father.
Hallelujah. He is truly risen.
Thank you so much for being with us. I so much appreciate it. You are our leadoff hitter here on this octave of Easter, this Monday morning.
My great privilege, and to all our listeners, may we know the joy of the resurrected Christ, truly risen from the dead.
Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks so much. Father John Gordon, the Acting Vicar for Pastoral Life and Coordinator of the Office of Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark and a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar will discuss the Easter Sunday Gospel and how Hispanic Catholics are celebrating Easter. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. It's good to be with you on this Easter Monday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is an extraordinary event. It's original, it's unrepeatable, it's unique. It's the greatest miracle in the history of the world. For that reason, Easter is the most important feast. It's the foundation and the core of the entire liturgical year. As we've been talking about, this feast is so big that it lasts for 8 days in the octave of Easter, and the season of Easter continues for 50 days until the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Easter Sunday is about an encounter with the risen Christ. The gospel readings lead us to this encounter. During the Easter Vigil gospel, we heard the words, "Do not be afraid. For us, the resurrection is a sign of not just good things, but great things." Listen to part of the Easter Vigil sermon by our Holy Father, Pope Francis, at St. Peter's Basilica.
Let us celebrate Easter with Christ. He is alive. Today, too, he walks. in our midst. He transforms, he frees. Thanks to him, evil has been robbed of its power. Failure can no longer hold us back from starting anew. And death has become a passage to the stirrings of new life. For with Jesus, the risen Lord, no night lasts forever. And even in the darkest night, in that darkness, the morning star continues to shine.
And those were the words of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, part of the beautiful sermon at St. Peter's Basilica at the Easter Vigil Mass. Joining us right now is Omar Aguilar. Omar Aguilar is a good friend of Morning Air. He's a Catholic evangelist and author. He's also director of liturgy at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Dallas, Texas. And he's with us to talk about these powerful gospel readings of the resurrection and also how Hispanic Catholics are celebrating Easter. Omar is also the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television and the author of the book Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos, Latino Catholics in the United States. Good morning, Omar. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for being with us on this Easter Monday. It's great to be with you. It's a joy to be with you this morning.
Well, happy Monday and happy Easter to you, John, and to all your listeners. It is great to be with you in this beautiful time of the year. It's just, yeah, we're full of joy and so happy for what just happened, what we just witnessed.
Well, this feast is so big it can't be contained in one day. So all week long, we're going to be able to say Happy Easter and Alleluia and continue to celebrate this wonderful feast, this solemnity of Easter. How was the celebration of Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday in your parish, Omar?
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful time to come together. It was great to see all the community back again at church, celebrating, coming together. And it was just a really, really, really good time just to come together and to be with God. It was beautiful. It was, in a way, even though it's a celebration, it's the biggest party of the year. It's bigger than the Super Bowl. It's bigger than anything that you can think of. But yet, it was this time just to reflect and to listen to the Word of God and to come together. So it was a beautiful, the whole experience, the whole 3 days, the Triduum, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. It was just It was so great to see so many families, everyone coming back to church.
It was especially great to see people together in church for the Easter Vigil and on Easter Sunday, really together for the first time to celebrate Easter since before the pandemic. So this made it extra special, extra joyful.
It was beautiful. You know, I, as everyone knows, right, for a mass to happen, it's not only the priest, it's not only the deacon, it's not only the lectors, it's not only those helping out, but it's the whole community that needs to come together. And it was actually quite interesting to welcome so many people that were willing to help. You know, when we're putting together all the celebrations and planning everything, you know, you're always worried, will we have enough people? You know, where's the servers? Who's coming to help? Who's going to be present? And then next thing you know, over the weekend, thanks be to God, we had way too many people wanted to help because everyone was willing and ready to come back to church. So it was amazing. And yes, like you said, it's been a few years. We had a few people that were so grateful just to be back. We had more than a few comments of people saying exactly that, like, oh my God, it's been a few years since I've been here. So it was beautiful.
The Easter Vigil Mass is always beautiful. One of the things that really stuck out in my mind was just to see the joy on the faces of some of the catechumens who came into the church, were baptized, received the sacrament of confirmation and the Holy Eucharist for the first time. There was this one fella, he was baptized. I mean, this guy was he was an adult. He was smiling from ear to ear. I mean, you couldn't wipe that big smile off his face. You could just see the pure joy of being baptized. It was almost like, yes!
We had a few adults that were welcomed into the church to receive the three sacraments of initiation. They were baptized, they were confirmed, and they received their first communion. And yes, indeed, it was a beautiful sight. And actually, one of the cool things that happened during this Easter and during the Easter Vigil, it was that one of our adults that was welcomed into the church, He is the only person in his whole family that is Catholic. And since he was little, he said, I want to be Catholic. Because one time he went to church and he couldn't receive Holy Communion. And then he started wondering, what is it that I can't receive Holy Communion? And next thing you know, after a few years, he understood a little more. And he said, well, you know what? I want to become Catholic. And the cool thing about it is that he invited his whole family, even though none of them are Catholics. And they were at the church with us and they were celebrating Easter Vigil with us. It was just a beautiful sight to see. And yes, indeed, they were all so happy, so many smiling faces. Once again, because that's what Easter is all about, is realizing and understanding and knowing that indeed he has risen again. Christ has defeated death.
Absolutely. And Omar, in many countries in Europe and in South America, today is known as Easter Monday, but it's also known as Little Easter. It's a national holiday. How's Easter and the octave celebrated in Mexico and among Latinos?
Yes, indeed. And as you just said it in the beginning, right? Easter, it's so amazing, it's so great that it cannot be contained, it cannot be just hold into 24 hours, into just one day. So we indeed are still in the Easter season. And yes, in many countries, Mexico as well, right? This is a big celebration, and this is a time where we come together. And when we realize that, thanks be to God, death has been defeated, that the sacrifice of Christ has secured for us salvation and eternal life. And it's a season of joy, of happiness. And it's amazing because even for those, this is quite amazing, even for those that do not believe in Christ, even for those that are away from the church, even those that are falling away, even those that do not practice their faith, this is a time where all of us understand and realize and know this as a certainty, that this is truth. Christ has defeated death for all of us.
I want to talk a little bit about the beautiful readings. Every single one of them all week long during this octave is powerful, beginning with the Easter Vigil gospel. We heard the words, do not be afraid. What's the meaning behind this idea of do not be afraid? And why would anybody be afraid of the resurrection of Jesus?
Right. This is quite understanding because for most of us, right, it's hard sometimes to understand the gospel. It's hard for us sometimes to understand the sacred scripture, right? Sometimes we read a passage of the gospel or any of the books and we don't understand what's going on. And sometimes we do go through this phase where, because we don't understand, we're afraid. We're like, oh my God, what's going on, right? And in particular, in the Easter Vigil Gospel, we hear these words, do not be afraid, right? Trust in God. Because sometimes we don't understand Jesus. We don't understand what he's asking us to do. We don't understand what's going on in our lives, right? And we are always wondering, and why me, God? What is it that you're trying to tell me? I don't understand. And it is beautiful that the woman listened to the words of these angels, these messengers that were very specifically asking them, first of all, do not be afraid. Maybe you don't understand what's going on. Maybe you come to the tomb and it's empty and you're wondering, where is Jesus in all of this? But first of all, do not be afraid. And for us that we're in this joyful season, this is a good beginning. This is a good way to start off. Let's not be afraid. Let's open our hearts, open our minds to whatever Jesus is trying to tell us. What is it, the message that Jesus has for you during this Easter season and for the rest of the year? But let's start off by not being afraid of whatever this is. Maybe it's not exactly what we're looking for. Think about this. The women were looking for the body. They were looking for Jesus. And when they didn't see him there in the empty tomb, the first thing they were afraid, they were like, oh my God, what's going on? Where is Jesus? Who took him away from us? And they didn't understand for a minute until it took him a minute. But then these beautiful words came out of the angels and they kind of give them a little sense of, oh, okay, something greater is happening. Something bigger is going on. And that's what is beautiful, to always be mindful of, do not be afraid. Something that the great Saint John Paul II said quite often as well. Do not be afraid. And to me, that's one of the biggest challenges nowadays, John, of our times. That sometimes we're afraid. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to react. And these beautiful, just these few words out of the gospel from the Easter Vigil. Let's not be afraid.
Omar, in yesterday's gospel on Easter Sunday, we see Mary Magdalene continuing this trend of surprise. She says to Peter, they have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they put him. Once again, the apostles were a little bit confused. The gospel challenges us to look further, to be attentive to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ is always giving us more than what we ask for, right? Because sometimes we don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to ask for. And sometimes we are not even ready to receive that gift. And yes, they look confused. They don't know what's going on, right? Because let's not forget this. Christ is always giving us more than we need, more than we ask for. And this is beautiful to see in the gospel that everyone's confused. The apostles are confused. The women are confused because they don't know what's going on, even though Christ said it time and time again. And that's why, and once again, this is a good challenge for us to understand that Christ is always speaking to us. Christ is always telling us something. Christ is always close to us. Christ is always near us, even though sometimes we don't see him, even though we look in the tomb and it's empty, even though sometimes when we pray, we don't feel like he's not answering. It was beautiful during the Easter Vigil Mass. The priest or pastor, he gave a beautiful homily. And one of the things that he said, it's this: Christ has no time. He works outside time. And for us, sometimes that is a challenge because we don't understand what's going on and we want him to act and react in our own time. But he is beyond time. Christ is timeless. And that's why sometimes it feels like we don't understand what's going on. It feels like, you know, we're confused. But let's not forget this. We're not to be afraid and we are to trust God, even though sometimes it seems like he's away from us. Even though we feel alone, we're never alone. He is with us.
Well, the question for all of us in our hearts all week long during this octave is, do we really believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is God and that he rose from the dead? I want to bring in our listeners. If you want to be part of our conversation, if you want to share how you celebrated the Easter Vigil and what the great solemnity of the octave of Easter means to you deep down inside your heart, if you want to share with us, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. For tonight, we're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Omar Aguilar, a Catholic evangelist. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air on this Easter Monday. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app as we continue talking about the beautiful readings and the Gospels during this octave of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're joined this morning by Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar. Omar, welcome back.
Happy Easter once again. I don't know how many times we're going to say it throughout this week, but let's not stop saying, let's not be afraid to say Happy Easter.
Absolutely. And not just this week, but for 50 days during the entire Easter season. Omar, I want to talk a little bit about the significance of Mary Magdalene, the first woman to arrive at the tomb. The fact that it was a woman, it sends a message for all of us. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the good news, the gospel, Christ himself, he gives himself not just to the apostles. Obviously, when we think of Christ and his mission, right, we right away think of the 12. We think of Peter. We think of John. We think of James, right? But it was not only for them. He was always willing and ready to approach those that needed the good news, which is all of us. And it is quite significant, right, that the first ones that were there looking after him were the women, because they're always strong, they're always brave, they're always ready to go, they're always willing to help out. And that's why the first thing in the resurrection day, they were there early in the morning. They beat everyone there because they wanted to be close to Christ, and it's this beautiful sign of all of us coming together, right? If we go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, right? When the serpent, when the evil one approaches, it is a woman because he understands the importance of woman in the history of the world, in the history of creation, right? It was right after he created the woman that the creation was completed, because she has this beautiful and particular role, this beautiful and particular mission, right? It was through a woman that Christ came to be among us. And so once again, we see it time and time again, the importance of woman. And nowadays, more than ever, we need to reassure that, and we need to share this with them, right? Because it is a time of confusion, right? With the feminism and all these different things, telling them otherwise, guiding them away from the message of the gospel. It's good to be mindful, and it's good to remind them the importance of who they are just because of who they are. Woman, which is the greatest gift to all of us and to themselves.
Absolutely. And I think going back to what we were talking about earlier about not being afraid, we need to not be afraid to proclaim Jesus is risen. This is our faith. This is what we believe. We should feel fervent and inspired more than ever during this Easter octave and this Easter season to be able to share with everyone we know the good news that Jesus indeed has risen from the dead. In fact, that's really the real question for our listeners. And again, I'm inviting our listeners, 888-914-9149, to share how you feel about the risen Christ during this Easter octave, what the great solemnity of Easter means for you. Again, if you want to share, we have open lines. We're taking your calls. In fact, Marcel is joining us this morning from Los Angeles, California. Marcel, welcome to Morning Air. Happy Easter to you.
Hey, happy Easter to you, too. Thanks be to God. Hey, I just wanted to say it's so important to participate in the activities of Lent and Easter. And if you do, if you participate in even some of them and do the fasting and attend the Holy Week services, the beautiful Holy Thursday, Last Supper service, and maybe even go to a couple of neighboring churches or a friend's parish and see how they do things there, and really take it all in throughout the Lent and Easter. We need those extra days just to recover.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But, you know, it's all culminating with what we've experienced here in these last 48 hours, beginning with the Easter Vigil. Omar, your thoughts on just the importance of letting it really come into our hearts, the message that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Marcel, for the phone call from one of my favorite cities in the whole world, LA. Absolutely. And particularly if we go back to the readings of the Sunday Mass, right, in the first reading in the book of Acts, it says, and I'm going to quote, "He commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God." So we are called to be witness, to testify. And indeed, it was beautiful to partake in all the celebrations, you know, starting off on Holy Thursday and then carry on all through Easter Sunday, and then to go out and to share this good news, to be a sign of hope, to be a beacon of hope, to be the light to the world, to not be afraid to share the good news. You know, this whole week I'm going to work extra hard to wherever I'm, even if it's a phone call or whenever I meet someone, I'm going to make sure that I always end up saying Happy Easter. Happy Easter for us is a time of joy, of celebration. Christ is risen. Dead has no power over us. And we need to rejoice in that. And we need to believe that. And we need to testify to that.
Thanks so much, Marcel. Omar, St. Paul the Apostle wrote that if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain. The resurrection is the greatest of all of the miracles in the history of humanity. It proves that Jesus is God. He is the Lord. This really, I think, St. Paul hits it right on the nose.
Oh, absolutely. Right, because that is for us, that is the end game. That is the goal, to be with him for eternity, to be with him in heaven. And that is the challenge for all of us and throughout history, to know that, yes, we are called to change, to love one another, to love God above everything, and then to be with him for eternity. And we know this a fact because, once again, Christ has risen. Death has no power over us. And we need to believe this. We need to be certain of that because we know it is true. People witness this, and we still testifying to this, and we still believe in all these things, and we need to be joyful, and we need to be happy. I don't know about you, John, and I know some of your listeners did that. I did it myself, but I was so thankful when Easter Sunday came because I was able to come back to do some of the things that I gave up for Lent. For instance, you know, it was so amazing Sunday morning to be like, thanks be to God. I was able to hold my sacrifice, my effort, that hopefully they bring me closer to Christ. They bring me closer to my faith. But now I can go back and do this. Even though they were tiny little things, it was amazing to do them and to reflect upon the last 40 days or so, and to see all the effort, all the sacrifice, and to see that this is for a greater purpose. This is for a greater reason. Our faith is not only about today. It's not only about this moment, but it's for the rest of our lives. What are we going to do with it? And one thing that we know for sure is we're not to be afraid. We're to be witness, to testify that Christ has defeated death.
And Omar, this season of Easter, this octave of Easter, is about joy. It's the season of joy. Final minute, just your thoughts on just always looking for hope and encouragement from the risen Christ.
Absolutely. When we look at the news, when we look at social media, right, it's all full of terrible things, terrible news, hopeless, right? People are confused. We don't know what to do. And sometimes we get caught up into that mindset, like, well, there's no hope. I'm worried 24/7. You know, the world is going mad and all these things. But think about it. That is the history of humanity throughout the ages. We're not the first one going through crisis. We're not the first one dealing with all the crazy stuff that is going on right now. And yet, one of the biggest signs of a true believer is the happiness, the true joy, that we know, that we understand that, once again, this is just a moment. At the end, we will be with Christ together in happiness and in joy. And that, for us, needs to be something that encourages us, that pushes us forward, that invites us, that challenge us to be joyful. And so for us, I guess that's the challenge during the Easter season. How could I be joyful?
Thanks so much, Omar. I really do appreciate it. Christ is risen indeed. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Pizza for Easter Dinner by Justine Bojan. My family and I spent Holy Week and Easter in California this year. Our flight home was late in the afternoon, Easter Sunday, so we were able to enjoy most of the day in beautiful weather before we headed to the airport, where we were deciding where to eat our Easter dinner. For some reason, I really felt like going for pizza, which was a bit odd because we'd just eaten pizza a couple days before, and after all, it was Easter Sunday. Who chooses pizza for their Easter dinner? Not sure what Bill would think of this idea. I brought it up, and although not his first choice, he agreed, so off we went to Sammy's Woodfire Pizza. We all thought it was the type of place that made individual-sized pizza, and it was serving as our main meal, so we each ordered a separate pizza. Well, they were much bigger than we expected, and behold, Caitlin and I each only ate half of our respective pizzas. We didn't know if we'd be able to bring them through security at the airport, but it would have been a shame to waste an entire pizza, so we had it boxed up in a handy-dandy pizza box. Then we headed toward the airport, where the idea came to me that if we passed a homeless person, we should offer it to him or her. We drove on the highway for most of the trip and then exited in downtown San Diego, where we were in a long line of traffic headed to a stoplight. In the distance stood a man that looked homeless, and he was carrying a cardboard sign. As we inched a little closer, I could make out the word pizza in bold black marker and thought to myself, seems odd a pizza place would have a homeless man advertising for them. We got a little closer. The sign actually read, Dreaming of a Slice of Pizza. Why, we had a pizza, a whole pizza. We pulled over toward him, and I lowered my window and said, We have a whole box of pizza. Do you want it? And with the biggest grin and giddiest voice, he replied, "Heck yeah, thank you. Happy Easter." And we said, "Happy Easter. We hope you enjoy it." He took the box from me, walked to claim his belongings and his bicycle, and off he rode with happiness written all over him. What a beautiful, close moment for all of us in the car. We saw God orchestrate this gift to this man, and not only did he provide a slice of pizza, in his abundance, he gave him a whole pizza. How cool is that? So pizza for Easter dinner? Yes, indeed. From Acts 4:32, we're reminded all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had.
Thanks, Glenn. I'll take a slice. Happy Easter. Coming up next hour, Father Mikhailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church in suburban Chicago in Palatine, Illinois, will join us to discuss how the Eastern Rite Catholics celebrate the Great Easter Sunday. And Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, will tell us about five ways to be a Catholic evangelist. Don't change that dial. We're just warming up. There's much more to come on this Easter Monday edition of Morning Air, next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.